of my great heroes in the faith was a priest from Slovakia. When the communists took over Slovakia, he refused to leave with his family to the United States for safety. He wanted to stay with his flock. And people told him, "Father, you got to get out of here." He said, "No, I can't do that. I'm a Catholic priest." And they told him when they took over his country and his town, "You have to teach communist doctrine from the pulpit." He said, "Nope, sorry, I'm a priest, won't do it." So he spent 2 years in a jail cell that was so small, this little cage, that he couldn't stand up or lay down in it. He had to wear a back brace to straighten his back out for the rest of his life. Once he was out, his dad called him from the U.S., said, "Look, I paid people off. Here's what you got to do to get out." And he said, "Dad, I'm not going anywhere. I can't leave my flock at a time like this." And his dad got upset with him. He said, "Dad, first I'm a priest, then I'm your son." Not long after that, they found him dead in his rectory, and the cause of death listed on the certificate was a heart attack. But when they got him undressed and ready for burial, they found his whole body, except his face and his hands, which the public could see, was covered with bruises and wounds and scars. He was beaten repeatedly for years till his body just couldn't take it anymore. That man is my great uncle. Guys, it helps to remember the heroism of the past, the heroism of people who suffered under oppression, to help us cling to our faith today, to be grateful for it, and to commit to doing our part, to passing it down to the next generation. But you don't have to look to the far distant past, because the oppression that communists brought into the world, it wasn't that far away, and it wasn't that long ago. I'm going to talk today to people who remember what it was like waiting in food lines to get an orange, who remember what it was like living under the oppression of thought police. Guys, people idealize communism. Young people think it's kind of cool sometimes when they graduate from a leftist university. It was anything but cool. But most of all, I'll be talking to people who remember what it was like to watch saints rise up and lead their nation to freedom, who watched the legacy of John Paul II unfold in Poland and change the world. Today we're going to talk to Dr. Peter and his wife Kasia, who teach at the John Paul II University in Krakow. I'm so excited to share them with you today. Welcome to the Christophanic Show. We're here every week to give you the tools and inspiration you need to live your everyday life with joy. Thank you, Missionaries of Joy. You make our work possible. If you've been watching for a long time, get off the sidelines. Help us out. Help us reach the world. Link is below in the show notes. If you want daily inspiration, sign up for our daily anchor. And this episode is sponsored in part by EWTN. You can catch this and so much more on EWTN Plus streaming. Link for the Daily Anchor and EWTN are below in the show notes. Also, the reason Poland is front and center in my mind is I recently led a pilgrimage there. If you want to come on a life-changing journey with me, I'm one of the handful of pilgrimages we'll be leading in the year ahead. That's in the show notes as well. Let's dive in. Yeah, so I went on pilgrimage to Poland recently and stole two people and brought them back in my bags with me. Dr. Peter and Dr. Kasia, it's so good to have you.
Well, thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for your invitation.
Thank you. I love John Paul II so much. Like he's a big part of why I'm a Catholic and why I do the faith the way I do. And my wife too. Her final converting moment was when she heard his voice as a teenage kid and thought, "That's my shepherd. He's speaking the truth. I'm in love with Jesus. I love his church." Hallelujah. So I love him so much that seeing your beautiful Polish faces and hearing your accents almost moves me to tears. It's like it's like hearing bagpipes. I don't know, John Paul II. And they brought me a picture. I'm happy to have this here. I'm going to try not to look at this because it'll choke me up. Anyway, I love this man. But going on pilgrimage to Poland, what really, I didn't expect this. To see how much your people, your country, is what shaped him. It's not something you can separate. Mm-hmm. And what happened in Poland, the saga of the drama, the darkness, the power of the gospel to overcome the darkness. It shaped the new evangelization. It shaped how anyone who has a dynamic orthodoxy, a boldness and joy in their faith. That came from the epicenter is Krakow. The epicenter is your home. How awesome is that?
We are very privileged.
You really are.
In this city. What? That's what we really like. Mm. We are very lucky because we live in Krakow, which is a Pope city, and we live very close to the shrine of John Paul II.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Which is very easy for us to get. So, here.
But you see, it's also a challenge because to whom it's given more, it's expected more.
Oh yeah,
so
yeah.
It's something that probably we will address also in during this talk. But before we get, first of all, Chris, thank you very much to have us over, and congratulations on this great show.
Thank you.
Really, you also. People know about you also in Poland.
Praise God.
And well, you are also, you are capable to be translated into Polish. And the translations are quite good. So,
yeah.
Well, I know that you are of the Slovak origin, but you started to speak Polish faster than Slovak. Congratulations.
Yeah. I've actually seen, I saw my real life Catholic show on EWTN. With the Polish dubbing.
Okay.
And he has a very manly voice. And I was really impressed. But yeah, to people watching from Poland, Szczęść Boże, that might be the one. And Slovakia, Pochwalony Bądź Jezus Chrystus. But help us, because I was ignorant about a lot of the drama that is the history of Poland. Mm-hmm. Give us the background for the saga that produced John Paul II, Kolbe, Faustina, mm-hmm. and the new evangelization, like the way we see a bold Catholicism rise up.
So where shall we start? We shall start with the whole context. We are here in America, and the beginning of American state is considered to be 1776.
Yeah.
For us, the beginning of our statehood is the baptismal year. It's 966. So baptism, and this was the date that even the communists could not, you know, take it from our history. So our identity, Polish identity, is very strongly connected with the Christian identity that starts in 966. Then if we go through all this time, at the end, when America was born as an independent country, we lost our independence. We lost our independence for 123 years. We regained this independence.
There was no Poland on the map
there
for 123 years.
There was no
Poland
on the map. Poles who left in Poland, who were still in Poland, they were looking for independence, and the independence came in 1918.
You know, you were again independent for a short time.
Correct.
But then people came in again and tried to crush what is your people out of existence. Yeah, how did it only get worse?
Okay, we have independence, but we need to merge from three different parts.
Wow.
And there is 1917, there is a revolution in Russia.
Yeah.
And there is a problem of hunger. The communists were not able to succeed, so they had to push with the army to the west, with this idea of conquering the rest of Europe with the communism. Miraculously, they are stopped on the Vistula River in the year 1920. John Paul II is born 18th of May, and they are stopped on the 15th of August.
Wow.
Just imagine divine providence work his way through our history, because if the communists would succeed to conquer us, then John Paul II most likely would not be a Catholic person.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
So that's how important he is in all this history of 20th century. So Poland is independent. We are under the attack of the Soviet army. Miraculously, we are safe. We are able to push them back.
By Our Lady.
By Our Lady.
Right on the Vistula River. Like
yes,
right across the
right river. On the Vistula River.
And on the feast of her Assumption, the Soviet soldiers, they were astonished because when they were attacking Warsaw, they saw the huge sign, Our Lady, a woman, that's what they were reporting, with a mantle, opening the mantle and protecting Poland from the flood of the communism.
The soldiers saw that?
Yes.
The witness, the Soviet soldiers who were
atheists.
Atheists.
They did not know who this lady was. They were saying there was a huge, huge lady and she was protecting.
You gotta be kidding. I never heard that before.
Oh, yeah. We call this battle, because it was a huge battle, we call as a miracle battle of Vistula River. And the miracle was done by Our Lady.
So we attribute this to Our Lady. So then This is very crucial because, of course, as you know, a father of John Paul, Karol Wojtyła, Karol Senior Wojtyła, was an officer for Austro-Hungarian army.
So
also he participated in defending of Poland.
Wow.
They moved to Wadowice.
His hometown.
To where Karol Wojtyła is born.
Wow.
So he, that's why they are there.
Wow.
9 years pass.
Wow.
He is getting ready for the First Communion. The First Communion he's supposed to receive on the 25th of May, 1929. And God gives him a very big challenge. God takes away his mama from him on the 13th of April. So the family is in trauma. The family goes through recovery where he goes to receive Blessed Sacrament for the first time.
Hey friend, I want to invite you into something that's changing lives every single day. People all over the world are rediscovering their faith, finding real joy, and learning how to share the gospel with confidence. And guess what? These lives are forever being transformed because of our Missionaries of Joy, our incredible monthly supporters. Everything we do, the Chris Stefanik Show, life-changing video series like Living Joy, Rise, Fearless, and Renewed, our live events, it all exists because of them. And I want to invite you to become part of this movement. When you become a Missionary of Joy, you're not just donating, you're stepping into a mission that equips, inspires, and empowers you to live the gospel in your everyday life and to help others do the same. And that's not all. As a Missionary of Joy, you get exclusive access to all our video series and empowerment to share them in small groups with friends. You get exclusive early access to new releases. You get Monday motivation texts direct from me. And you get access to our daily anchor, daily inspiration to fuel your faith. Here's the truth. The world is desperate for joy. People are dying for meaning. And together, we could bring them the hope of Jesus. The question isn't if you can make a difference. It's will you? Click the link below. Join the mission today.
So it's a hard time, and hard time for family because, you know, like sometimes one of the parents is missing in the family. John Paul II went through that.
Mama was 45
old years old. He's 9 years old, and he's missing already his mom.
His beloved mom.
And then his big brother.
And then he,
before,
if we can stop for one more very important part, because his father, who is a very pious man, maybe a little bit introvert, he takes him to Our Lady in Kalwaria Zebrzydowska.
This is nearby. Sanctuary of Our Lady, nearby of Wadowice, very beautiful place.
And there he says to him, pointing to Our Lady, you lost your earthly mother, but you are gaining now your heavenly mother.
His John Paul II's dad told him that?
Yes.
That's senior Karol Wojtyła tells to the junior Karol Wojtyła, tells him, pointing to Madonna, saying, this is your mother.
So his mama dies when he's 8, 9, his big brother when he's 12.
Yes.
How old was he when the Nazis rolled into his country? I mean, this isn't from an outsider's point of view, without faith, this is an awful childhood.
In 1939, the totalitarian regime of Nazis, Germany, attacked Poland. And he was not able to go to the university for next 6 years. Just imagine, you are students, now enroll at your universities. Just imagine that there is a war that prevents you to go to university for next 6 years.
Wow.
This was the case of Karol Wojtyła.
Yeah, actually, it is important to say that he had very hard time and he go through all of this hardship in his life, early life. He lost mama, as we mentioned, brother, and then 1941, he lost his beloved father. He lost the possibility to study because of war. And he lost also the opportunity to develop his interest in theater because of war. So he lost almost everything. and he was still very, very young. So because of war, he needed to go to the to avoid to be sent for forced labor to Germany. He needed to go to the stone quarry for work as a simple, just very simple and very hard work he was doing there. And very often I think about young Karol Wojtyła, who is working in this quarry. He is alone, with no family, with no studies, with no future, and with hope. And because of this, he is like man of hope for me, not only as a Pope he became to be later, but I really like this image that he is a young man with all of these tragedies in his life, and he was so strong with his faith and hope.
Amazing.
Even in such a darkness, completely, like he lost almost everything. So I really like this because it's easy to write about hope.
Yeah.
It's easy to talk about hope and about faith, but he really had this experience in his life.
I think we often feel like we're abandoned when something bad happens to us. And that resistance is precisely the thing God's using to build up our spiritual muscle in that one area. Because you're right, if there's a word that pops to my mind when I think of him, it would be hope. There was this grin. I was just looking at all the evils of the world. That's because he was beat down specifically in that area. His life looks like a recipe for total despair.
And then we know also from his writing, unfortunately, this writing are not translated yet to English.
Yeah.
He is 18, 19 years old, 19 when the war starts. And he writes his letters. Letters to his friend.
And first letter he wrote down just after the Second World War broke out. And it was like he was telling about all of these activities he needs to do, looking for food, that he is not safely anymore, that people are afraid of everything. So it was a letter about earthly cares, let's say. Nothing connected with spirituality. Like, just he was describing the life in Krakow after...
It's devastating.
Yeah. And then after 1 or 2 months, there is another letter to the same friend, which I love. I love this letter. It shows how wonderful personality Karol Wojtyła was. And then he described that there is no space for him because of war to develop and to grow outside, to go to theater, to meet with friends, to go to study.
It's just survival.
But what he realized that there is space inside of himself and nobody is able to destroy it. So he decided, decided to invested into this space. And he was describing, I'm writing, that I write, I read, I think, I pray. He was describing all of these activities. And it is beautiful because I think that in this moment of his life, he realized the dignity of human being and there is a space inside in ourselves to grow up, even if the circumstances around us are completely difficult. And that's what I think, that then he realized how important is human dignity and freedom which we have inside.
How beautiful.
And that's why I believe he was able to understand the communism, the communism regime, Nazism as a regime, and he was constantly talking about human dignity, and the freedom is somewhere inside. So there is always space to grow inside.
Awesome.
Mm-hmm. So the context, miseries of miseries, yeah. Disaster. The best years of your life are turned into the miseries. From 19 till 25, you cannot go to university. You cannot do the activities that you love to do it. It's what happens on the streets of Krakow, just to illustrate. His dad died in February 1941. In March, the Nazis move the Jews to the ghetto. So, and the terror started towards the Jews.
Around the same time.
Around the same time. We know that Karol Wojtyła was hit by the German truck. He almost lost his life. He lost his conscience. Nevertheless, divine providence somehow protected this young man, that he was not even arrested in 1944 when they were looking for young men on the streets of Krakow. He hid himself in his flat, and that although the German soldiers went to this flat, they were not able to find him.
Wow.
So this providence was really letting him that the, as a man, that he had already experienced of one totalitarian regime, that in 1945 is replaced with another totalitarian regime, with communism.
Wow.
And this communism allowed him also to go and to also to develop inside, to keep the dignity, and he understood the dignity of work as a human person. That communists, they were talking about work. Well, over the totalitarian regime and not the previous one, Nazism was also talking about work, because over the entrance to Auschwitz, there is the infamous sign, Arbeit macht frei, the work will liberate you. Mm. But the concept of work was always not dignifying human person, but to lowering your standards to just a working machine.
I want to talk about the experience of communism you guys had too. Because the Polish people called World War II the war we lost twice, right? Mm-hmm. So it went from Nazis finally won that, but then you guys were traded to the Soviet Union. And so, that's something you guys, we talk about that theoretically, and there's American young people who have no idea how evil communism is. I've seen people with a Che Guevara shirt on. It's like, this guy... Communism is straight from the pit of hell. I'm sorry. I'm not sorry. My great uncle in Slovakia was put in a dog cage for 2 years as a priest that he couldn't stand up or lay down in, because he was a priest and he wouldn't do what they said. What was your you this is in your memory, right?
Yes.
What was it like living just for the people who were ignorant about how bad it is to have these thought police trying to run every aspect of your life? To have to stand in line for toilet paper. I mean, what was it like living under the Iron Curtain?
It was really horrible thing. You did not have liberty of free speech, but also liberty of religion. So these liberties were suppressed. So you were really, if you wanted to have a position in society, you could not show that you are religion. That you are religiously minded or anything like this. You should be completely liberated from the thoughts about God. And this was forced over the people by the communists. This was accepted by a lot of people who wanted to have a better life.
Was it felt by you in your daily experience? That how did that express itself? Like you're a junior high kid, you're secretly thinking one thing about God, do you feel that, are you afraid someone's going to turn you in? Like, how does it work?
Yeah, well, you never knew who was there. I was in the primary school. I mean, if there was a teacher sympathizing with the Communist Party, then I would not get a good scores in this class, although maybe I was the best. Mm. Yeah. So this suppression was, say, why my essay is worse than the others? What's wrong with my essay? The teacher would not be able to answer your question, but would say to you, well, because this was my will to give you such a grade. Wow. Also, of course, I mean, this is a small thing.
Yeah.
This is comparing to what happened to the older people, to mature, to our parents, where you could get, you know, one-way free ticket to Siberia, of course, this was not a vacation destiny.
Yeah.
This was really a gulag, and this was like a concentration camp under the communists. That shows that
it was a dark time in my memories, communism, because I was living under communism for 8 years, so I have only I remember from my early life, and it has gray color. It's everything is gray.
Mm.
There is nothing which is colorful. And I do remember all of these lines. We needed to wait to buy something to eat.
Mm-hmm.
Constantly, for many hours every day, we needed to go and stay in the line with our parents.
Hours a day?
Yes, yeah, sometimes it was 2 hours, sometimes it was 3 hours, because they were looking for market where there was something to buy. And then we needed to stay there, because very often it was piece of something, like, for example, 1 kilogram of sugar per head, which means mine head and my brother's head was counted.
Worthy.
Was worthy to be with our parents to get more food. So that is my like early memory, that we are constantly staying in the line and waiting for to buy something to eat. And it was like on one hand wonderful time because of family reasons. We used to be very close with my family.
Mm.
But on the other hand, our parents needed to deal with all of these difficulties. It was very difficult to buy something like clothes, like food. So constantly they were looking for something. They were waiting for something. They woke up very early in the morning, to go to the store and stay in the line like for 2-3 hours in the morning to buy something, which was the part of our life. Like
just maybe to illustrate that, in the 80s, my dad went as a worker to Western Germany, and my mom went to visit him in Western Germany, and she was shocked. She saw stores that they were full of stuff, and they are closing the stores. Why do they close?
With stuff inside. Which was difficult to understand.
Because the shelves in Poland were empty. so this would be unheard to have, especially...
How can you close the store with stuff inside, products?
Wow. She went to see like a butchery store, and in the butchery there was so much meat, then they closed it overnight, and she said, how come they are closing the store and people did not buy these things? In Poland,
it's infuriating to think about too. I mean, you have gifted, brilliant people who are saying, "Hey, can I start a business?
Yeah.
Can I do that? Can I think a certain way?"
No.
And this oppressive regime saying, "No, we're going to tell you what's best for you."
Oh, absolutely.
Even though it means staying in line.
In your own business, it was almost impossible.
And in all of this misery, we talk about the first misery, totalitarian regime of Nazi. Then the other totalitarian regime of communism, there is a star, there is a spark that comes in 1978 after the pontiff, very short pontiff of John Paul I. Cardinals decide and they elect the first pope after 500 years outside of Italy. And the first pope from the Slavic nations.
Yeah.
I know that we have now American pope.
Yeah.
We are very happy to, and we're looking forward to his decisions.
How old were you guys when John Paul II was made pope?
I was I was 78. I was 5 years old.
Five?
I was not born yet.
Not born yet. So, you remember?
Yes.
I can't. I mean, when you think about that gray, that oppression, and to think, our guy.
Yes.
From this place
you
became
know,
Pope. It must have exploded.
Very often we are talking with our parents about their experience when they, you know, learn that Karol Wojtyła became the Pope, and constantly our parents are crying till today.
Yes.
Just remember.
One of my first memory was the fact that we were at my aunt, and then we watched the TV, and they told us that we have the Pope, new Pope, and he's Polish.
Which was a miracle by itself.
It's miracle by itself, and then I grew up in 6 years old. I see in the TV very limited streamings from the holy meetings, from the liturgies celebrated by John Paul II, who comes for the first time to Poland as the Pope. The first time the Pope comes to Poland, and it's under communism, and this is so-called 9 days that changed the world.
Yes, and I want to dive into like the significance of these 9 days. I just watched a movie, the Gingrich on that, it blew my mind. But as a pilgrim to Poland, I'm going to see, you know, the guy who's one of my favorite saints, and it's very clear that for the Polish people, he's the saint, but he's also the national liberator.
Oh, absolutely. Right?
I mean, even the way you're telling about the history of Poland and the Lord stopping the communists at the Vistula, why? Because our liberator was being preserved by that. So what happened in those 9 days that didn't just change Poland but had a domino effect on the entire planet?
But it's interesting because these 9 days were not... John Paul II was afraid a little bit. Don't be afraid. But John Paul II... Once Cardinal Dziwisz told me a story, his private secretary, back then Monsignor Dziwisz, Stanisław Dziwisz, when they were flying for these 9 days that will change the world, the plane was coming down. It was a beautiful day in June. They were seeing people by the Vistula River. They were flying down. The touching down was in Warsaw. And John Paul II looked through the window and said to his secretary, maybe Noah will come to welcome us. Maybe this will be unnoticed that I arrived. He was so much, you know, going to unknown.
And he didn't know if the communists were totally silencing the event.
Exactly. So and then what he saw, that the abundance of people on the streets, millions and millions flowing to these religious services, these 9 days show us that we have more people than just only us, that our family and neighbors.
Everybody went outside there to greet him, to participate in holy masses.
11 million people.
And Polish national media, means communistic one, they did everything
to show
this event as a smaller, you know, they did like everything to make it, you know, not as wonderful as it was, but they didn't succeed because people, they went outside, they saw each other, they created wonderful community, and they spent wonderful time. And for many of Poles, it was life-changing experience. Because they saw that it is impossible to change something in our darkness, which
And of course, then the request of a holy man was heard in heaven when he said in Warsaw, let your spirit come and renew the face of the earth, of this earth. And this is the spark that started the Solidarity Movement.
The Solidarity Movement, tell us about that.
Solidarity Movement, then John Paul II returns back to Vatican. In the 80s, Solidarity Movement gets bigger to threaten the system, communistic system. The workers who are supposed to be very pleased with communism, because this was heaven on earth, communism system for them. Now they go on the strike and they say, this is a lie. Communism is a lie. It does not give me a work, doesn't give me dignity, takes away my dignity, liberties away from me. So this is a lie. We request that certain things will be like a normal country here. It's 1980s. The strikes were through Poland. What's happened?
And this is unheard of in a communist country.
Unheard. Mm-hmm. Because 1956, we know what's happened in Hungary. In 1968, we know what's happened in Czechoslovakia. Any protests were squeezed.
Everybody dies.
By the Soviets, by the army, and in very bloody way. So we are afraid, but they succeed the message across. But John Paul II is a threat to communism.
He's a threat to communism, yeah.
It's such a big threat to Moscow that in Moscow they make a decision. Decision is kill him. Mm. And 13th of May, on the anniversary of the first appearance of Our Lady in Fatima, 1970, Ali Akça tries to assassinate John Paul II. I mean, it's John Paul II said, one hand led the bullet, the other directed the bullet. Bullet went in zigzag, missing vital organs. Mm. He survives, and then we know that this connection through the Bulgaria, Turkey, goes to Moscow. Mm. So we know that divine providence wants to keep John Paul II.
And that bullet is in Mary's crown in Fatima to this day.
Yes, and next year, he goes to pay a homage to Our Lady of Fatima. He brings the bullet that they took from his body. They take the bullet and they place into the crown of Our Lady of Fatima. Mm. But 1981, what's happened 6 weeks before? Here in the United States, there is a temple of assassination of Ronald Reagan. Mm. 6 weeks apart they were. And they were very crucial for divine providence because both of them, they were great warriors to combat the communist regime.
Yeah.
So Ronald Reagan, who respected, who was not Catholic, who respected John Paul II.
I think that Ronald Reagan needed John Paul II.
He did.
Because John Paul II, he understood very well what communism is, not only in theory, but in practice.
And the high profile, hopeful, joyful man that the world loves and respects, even if they hate Catholicism sometimes, he put a light on Poland that prevented Moscow from just leveling and killing everybody.
Mm. That's correct.
But also the fact that you have 11 million people coming out. What are you going to kill us all?
Mm-hmm. That's right.
I mean, how many people can you possibly kill?
Yeah, but we were capable to resist also because of the help of the United States once again.
Praise
so,
God.
So we are really, we don't forget about that. And we're really very grateful for this help because this was a help that helped our church to resist, to lead through this turbulence time, and we were able to go through this turbulence time because we had captain, and this captain was John Paul II in Vatican. Mm.
And then you have Eastern Europe following suit like dominoes. Communism just loses its practical power.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll never forget my dad talking about this because he you know our family came from Slovakia escaping communists, You know, he remembers as a little kid praying for the downfall of communism in Eastern Europe and mass. And everybody's thinking, well, that's impossible.
Yeah.
It's not going to happen. And when the wall came down, I mean, he was just like, it happened and there wasn't even a shot fired.
Exactly.
Yeah. I mean, this was the whole Our Lady of Fatima call to pray for that.
Mm-hmm.
And it actually happened.
He changed the history of our part of Europe, and actually he changed the history of world.
It's his absolutely changed the history of the world.
He planted seeds that grew up in the hearts of people that we can think out of the box, of the communistic box. We can think and we can grow not only inside, but also show our faith outside. And that was the time after the collapse of communism. So we were able to go out and then embrace what we receive from after the communist time. It wasn't easy because transformation period wasn't that easy. But once again, John Paul II was directing us. In the 90s, he came and said, listen, you went through the Red Sea, calling the communist period Red Sea. But don't forget about 10 commandments.
Mm-hmm.
Don't be fascinated that much with all these liberties.
Mm.
You need to remember about 10 commandments and about God.
Mm.
And remember that you are the kingdom of Our Lady.
Mm.
And that's what he repeated over and over coming to Poland. 1991, before World Youth Day in Denver, we had a World Youth Day in Krakow. That's what he said.
Not in Krakow, in Częstochowa.
That's what he said, that finally the church is able to breathe with two lungs because people from former Soviet Union, great Catholics, were able to come and to participate in this celebration together.
Mm-hmm.
So this is 1991, and then he comes to 1993 here to Denver and also put such a strong impact. We are here in Denver and we are astonished.
That's incredible.
He planted so much seeds.
Yeah.
And the fact that maybe this is really a divine providence that you are here in Denver.
I'm in Denver because of John Paul II.
You see?
Because I came to World Youth Day as a kid. And then there was a resurgence of church ministries here. And I came and worked for Archbishop Schiappi because I was always drawn to that. That's literally why we're sitting in the studio in Denver. It's all pretty mind-blowing. Yeah,
so this is all of this. This is divine providence. It shows how beautiful divine providence is. I love this story during consecration of Shrine of Divine Mercy in Krakow, 2002, which the consecration was done by John Paul II.
Mm.
3 years before his death.
3 years before his death. And during this consecration, he recalled the wartime. And then he told that when he was a young man, he used to go through this place where now Divine Mercy Shrine is, going to work to the quarry with his wooden shoes during the war. And then, I love this question, he asked, like, would anybody has a thought that someday this young man in wooden shoes will consecrate Divine Mercy Shrine in this place?
That's incredible. Yeah.
Which is beautiful, means like divine providence. Yeah. It's wonderful.
The whole victory, too, is like he didn't... I mean, yes, he took on communism very directly. I love the story of him meeting with the president of Poland at the time, who was communist, and saying, this will change, when he came there. And the guy was literally shaking in fear.
He ran away.
Mm-hmm.
He ran away from the meeting. because this went on the Polish TV, that he ran away from the meeting. He abandoned and he ran away. And people were clapping in the hands in front of the TV.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and all he had was the power of the gospel.
Yeah.
I mean, this is the power of the gospel over darkness. I love Stalin's question when he criticized the Pope. Mm-hmm. How many legions does the Pope have? Yeah. Well, Stalin, you found out, buddy. You know, I mean, but I'll tell you what, there's something about oppression that can produce saints, right? You dig in your heels, you push back. And this is the history of Poland. I love the thought of John Paul II, inspired by the guy whose shoes he filled, St. Stanislaus, who was killed by a king. The king killed him with his own hand because he couldn't find a subject to do it, stabbed him at mass, right? But oppression can produce great saints for generations that dig their heels in and push back. Seduction is different. Mm-hmm. And he came and liberated the Polish people from oppression. But that final warning, he said, don't forget. Mm-hmm. It was warning against a seduction in the Western world that comes along with so much comfort that we forget about God, and then we're slaves in a different way.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You know?
And you see, I mean, of course...
And this is a new battle in Poland.
Yeah, absolutely.
Here we need to remember about the revelations of Our Lady, the appearance of Our Lady in Fatima, the secrets of Fatima. that they are entrusted, and John Paul II, he did not hear about these things before. Only after the attempt of assassination, he asked, please bring me this from the safe box, the information, what would be this? And he also read the will of God. What will be the will of God and what would be my position in these things? And he went step by step, slowly and slowly, but constantly focusing on prayers. He had very rigorous prayer life, starting at 5:30 and dividing these things. I had 3 times chance to participate in his private Holy Mass in Vatican.
Incredible.
So I met him personally. I always tell this to my wife that I'm second class relic because he always
can touch his arms.
why? Because you know, always when John Paul II saw me, he always gave me a hug.
Yeah.
And you see, so my shoulders are the second class. Reuse, not only use once, but the third class, but the second class. So
what did it feel like when you guys remember communism falling in Poland? Was it explosively joyful or shock? What was it like when all of a sudden I don't have someone controlling my thoughts and there's food in the grocery store? Do you remember things coming back from black and white to color? What was?
I do remember colors.
We had a lot of hopes. Yeah, we went with a lot of hopes. Unfortunately, these hopes were put with the reality of everyday life, with the new reality. So we went through very turbulent life. I mean, of course, some people succeeded in making new businesses, but a lot of people who were in solidarity movement, they felt that they were abandoned. They lost the job.
Mm.
So this was not like the sweetest part, but of course, it was a hard time. And once again, we had to stick to our faith in order to preserve what is the most treasurable.
Yeah, the transformation, because you ask for like a moment when communism collapsed, but the transformation, it took like few years.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So it was...
Yeah, it's like using the comparison of John Paul II. He understood that we went through the Red Sea, but right away Moses did not enter the Promised Land.
Mm.
He had to, the one generation had to die in the desert. So okay, we have our students. They are totally different from different position coming because they are born already in this Promised Land. But we do remember the slave land of Egypt, of communism, the difficulties of transformation that we went, and we see now challenges that the younger generation doesn't see these with the sharp eyes that they are facing. But there is still hope. We really believe that the legacy of John Paul II, the seeds that he planted, it's not only for the 80s or for the 90s, from what was that happened in the past, but it will be rediscovered by a younger generation when there will be the right time.
This is a big question for us nowadays, today question, how to bring John Paul II and his legacy closer to young generation.
Yes, that's the big question.
Because for them, he is like historical figure.
Right.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think of St. Faustina's prophecy. And I love the thought when he canonized her, he said it was the most joyful day of his life.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Her prophecy that from Poland will come a spark that will prepare the world for the second coming. And little did she know, 5 miles from where she said that, there's a guy walking past her to work who was the spark. What exactly do we need to be that spark to prepare the way for Jesus that we could learn from John Paul II, from your experience, from Poland? Like, what would you say to American young people who's like, please don't overlook this?
Mm-hmm. Okay, so what we do, this spark is the message of divine mercy. And John Paul II referred to this on the year 2000, because a lot of people thought that he would be the spark. And he said, no, I'm not the spark.
I'm not. Divine mercy
message is the spark.
Wow.
So, and then what we read in the diary, private revelation, but sometimes it's worthy to look into it if it's approved by the Catholic Church.
And it is.
It is, thanks be to God. So we read in the chapter 300, that the world will not find peace until it will turn to divine mercy. Will not find peace until we learn the rules of divine mercy. So this is message, I think, that John Paul II never took it to himself. He said, the message of divine mercy. Look, I mean, we are in the, this is a small box, and the bigger box, the whole war, and the final engagement that we learn from the book of Revelations, they talk about the last times, and Jesus comes with the message of divine mercy for the maybe difficult times that we have ahead of us. It's difficult to forgive, difficult to look ahead. How should we forgive about Auschwitz? It's very difficult. How can I forgive someone? I'm not the person who suffered there. But what we can, at least we can forgive, and we should not forget. So don't forget, forgive it. But nevertheless, have mercy and also practice this mercy. So put into the actions the mercy, because love is in practice is equals mercy. So this is, that's what we're trying to tell to the American students. We talk about John Paul II, and John Paul II is a very powerful tool in the hands of our Lord, but pointing to divine mercy. So we bring them to divine mercy and saying to them, look, here you can always refer to Jesus, to merciful Jesus, and he will always listen to you. Look at the image of merciful Jesus. He walks towards you. He with the blessing, he doesn't condemn you. So whatever happens in your life, doesn't matter. Remember that the most powerful tool is divine mercy and the chaplet. Why the chaplet is important? In the hour of our death, it's very, very important, and that's what Cecilia Faustina learns about, is told, and she sees when she says that chaplet, that the demons abandoned person who is dying. So this is something that we have, that we're trying to pass to the younger generation, to our students, to those who are coming to Poland for a short time, that we are bringing them in the footstep of John Paul II, but the footstep of John Paul II to what? To divine mercy.
Wow. It is not by accident that Shrine of Divine Mercy, it is just next to the Shrine of John Paul II. It goes together.
And look, it's maybe not also by accident that we have all these messages sent to the country that experienced so much during Second World War, were the biggest places where humanity killed and so much another fellow human persons is in such places like Auschwitz and Birkenau are located in Poland. So they are very close to each other.
It means a lot to have the message of forgiveness, mercy come from that spot. Because if it can come from there, then surely the rest of us can try to muster it from our own lives.
Exactly.
And prepare the way for the Lord and the gospel through our own mercy.
So
praise then, God.
So we are very grateful that we were able to be here.
I'm so grateful you came. And I'm grateful to our friend Jade for making this happen. And you look just like my sister, and it's so fun to see you here. Lizzie, I'll have you on soon, because it just reminds me I should have my sister on this couch too, talking about her art.
What's her name?
Elizabeth. Elizabeth Żelazko is her married last name.
Żelazko.
Żelazko, Poland. It's a place.
Yeah. It's Poland. Iron.
Huh? Is it iron?
Iron.
It's Żelazko. There's a noble last name for
it. No. Okay. Iron. But it's very nice.
It's a necessary thing. It's important
it's very,
stuff.
It's very important to take to straight up certain things. Yeah.
God bless you guys. Yeah. I can't wait to come back to Poland and hang out with you all.
Amen.
Next time I lead a pilgrimage to Poland, we're gonna bring you guys in on it somehow.
Sure.
Praise God. Thanks
welcome.
For
your, thanks thank for you thanks so for much. May God
thank
bless
you. Much,
you.
Thank you for your living faith. That was one really touching thing about pilgrimage to Poland. Some places you go and it's things that have been. Mm-hmm. You know, there's living stones in Poland. Mm-hmm. I mean, like every pilgrimage site is packed with Polish people. Mm-hmm. Having mass and on pilgrimage within the country, like it's happening now. Like this, you guys have, you're keeping the flame alive.
Yeah, so but we are sinners as well. So please keep us in your prayers the same like we keep you in our prayers.
Would you lead us in a Hail Mary in Polish for us as we wrap the show up?
In the name of the Father, of the Son, of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Zdrowaś, Mario, łaskiś pełna, Pan z Tobą, błogosławionaś Ty między niewiastami i błogosławiony owoc żywota Twojego, Jezus. Święta Mario, Matko Boża, módl się za nami grzesznymi, teraz i w godzinę śmierci naszej. Amen.
The greatest tragedy to think of is, what if these people hadn't responded to grace and become saints? The whole world would be different. Lord, help us to take our place in the history of the church and in the world to become either great saints or just the dad of a saint who prayed devoutly, or the guy, Jan Tarnowski, who led a small group for a saint. Like, help us, Lord, to not blow it. Help us to take up our place in the communion of saints and to respond to your grace and mercy. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, guys.